You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Marcia Bailey continues with The Hope of Glory.
I believe in Acts when Herod saw it pleased the people to vex this church, he stretched out his hand. And I believe the devil thinks it's a good thing in this season to vex you. But this is what the Lord says, Zechariah, the second chapter. The King James translation says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you. For he that touches you," what touches the apple of his eye? It's about to be on, y'all. I love this translation. I'm going to read this. It's the easy reader version. The Lord sent me to the nations that took away your wealth. He sent me to bring you honor. And this is what the Lord, all powerful, says. If anyone even touches you, it is as if they did it to the pupil of my eye. God basically said, they touch you, they touch me. He said, step aside, I got this. Man, mama knows how this thing goes down. I have four kids and somebody will mess with my kids, something comes over me. I told you, I'm a fighter by nature, y'all. And so when something happens to my kids, I'm like, you ain't mess with my kids, you messing with me. And as many times I would show up, I would go and say, hey, you see them, you see me. When you look at them, you're looking at me. That's what God's saying right now for some of y'all. That even though you've been through some stuff and you think things weren't coming through and working out, God said this set time, this season, the curtain's being pulled back on you. And they touch you, they touching me. I declare justice, I declare recompense, and I declare restitution. Regarding your situation and regarding your circumstance, this is how this glory looks so powerful and undeniable. That's why it's been a delay and it's been a long time, because what's happening? Interest is accruing. Interest is coming together, accruing. So God's saying, it didn't make sense for me to show up 2 years ago. It didn't make sense for me to show up 3 years ago. You thought you were out and done. It looks like you were going to financial ruin. But I told you I was going to bless you. I said I was going to increase you. So I got to let this thing build up so the earth can say, these are the people whom the Lord has blessed. See, your job can't bring these blessings into your house. Your parents can't bring these blessings into your house. People you're connected to can't bring these blessings into your house. It got to be so remarkable. It got to be so mind-boggling. It got to be something that's puzzling. That when they look at you, it's a conundrum. And they scratch their head and say, I thought they were done with. I'm prophesying now, right now to you. You thought this is it? You seen your best days? Some people think and say you're going to an end. Honey, you're about to begin. They haven't seen anything yet. You're getting ready to go into your greater days, your larger days, your more powerful days, your more renowned days, your glorious days. Why? Because he placed you in a kingdom for such a time as this. Give God some praise. Some of you have been wondering why the deal has not been coming through. It's not right yet. It's not right yet. It's not right yet. It got to be at a place. See, many of which from much to okay to little to nothing. I watched so many good people go from one level to a base level, and it's so obvious, okay? They can't even hide it. People know about your stuff. God says, I planned it so you're thinking that it's over, and Satan think he had you, but you're resilient. You made your mind up, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And you made your mind up that things weren't going to define you, and reputation wasn't going to define you, and a job wasn't going to define you, and a car is not going to define you, and a house wasn't going to define you, but he was going to define you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you made your mind up, I need his power more than a car. I need his wisdom more than a house. I need your anointing more than a job. I need your grace more than an opportunity. You settled it, and now God says, he that touches you touches the pupil of my eye. Glory to God. I'm excited about this season. I'm excited about what God's getting ready to do in the house of right direction. Glory to glory. That's where we're walking into. Man, I start thinking about the devices of the devil. I start thinking about the schemes. Now, y'all heard me preach many years ago that I believe in miracles, right? I saw crutches on the wall, right? Wheelchairs lined up, right? I seen all those things. God asked me some time ago, do you still believe me? Yes, God, I believe you. Then I went on about my business. Then I heard as I was driving, God said, surely as I live, my earth shall be filled with my glory. You got to get to a place that you take yourself out of the equation. Man, you know, and say, God, you know, I believe you're able, and I believe you're powerful, and I know, God, you can do it, even though it may not happen for me. God say, once you settle it, that it's not about you. It's not about your own personal resume. It's not about your own personal results, that you stepped out of the flesh. And you say, God, it's your glory, it's your name, it's your power. God said, now watch me move. Watch me move and watch me do. So what do we need to do? Christ says, how do we get this power working on the inside of us? What do we need to do? We got to make the mind up our decision today, y'all. Listen, we can't be moved by our suffering. We don't know how to suffer. We're so blessed. We don't know how to struggle. If you're placed in a situation that we have to struggle. Pastor and I, and you know, and my son, my oldest son, remember those days of going to the laundromat with the trash bags and them terrorizing the laundromat because he's putting his brothers and sisters in the car and running it around the laundromat as I'm dragging wet clothes because I didn't have a dryer. Many of us don't know how to drag wet clothes. You'll go and get a machine that you don't have no money for. You don't know how to struggle because you don't want to be seen at the laundromat. A couple of years back, my dryer went out. What did I do? In the big country that I live in, the city country that I live in, I grabbed my wet clothes and went on to the laundromat. Went home, left staff meeting. Tuesday was my laundromat day. You know, I was waiting for it to get fixed. My husband could have bought another one, but I was like, it's no big deal. We got insurance for it. I'm going to wait for it. I know what to do. I don't care how much money you make, how many houses you get, you still need to place yourself in a mindset that you know what to do. So I went and drove my clothes and listened to a certain news report, and the guy came in and said, can you help me move the dryer? I said, I came to dry my clothes. I ain't come to help you move the dryer. Because he was working on the dryer. I said, now isn't this funny? So he said, come on, honey. Come on, sugar. Come on, push it. So I'm in the laundromat. I think I was on the phone with some of the committee members talking about it. I'm like, you know, hold up, this guy asking me to help. But guess what? You can't become what you do. Many of us got titles and positions, and it has made us handicapped. We can't open our own doors. We can't cook if we have to cook. I don't know why I'm going here, but you need to know what to do. season. Satan is and he's doing what he should be doing. He's a devil. All kinds of stuff. He'll do to irritate and frustrate and distract. But you can't be moved by the struggle. You can't be moved by your suffering. You can't be moved by those things. He's hoping. He's hoping that he will break you. But God said, if you look towards me, what he sent to break you, I will use it to make you. How many of you have been at a place where you think like, oh, man, this I'm about to lose my mind. I want to let you know you're being positioned. Look towards God. Ask God to strengthen you. One of the things I daily do, and I recently started doing this and getting some wisdom and revelation. I've been sharing with my people. We have oil for sale, swaddle oil. You're going to need some. Because a woman of God told me, listen, you anoint yourself daily. You anoint yourself when you got to go into different places and arena with oil. You plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. And Minister Carol Jones came 7 years ago, says, you need to lay hands on your mind and declare you have the mind of Christ. Because things will happen and will try to break you down. But if you begin to say, God, I thank you. I anoint myself. So, Father, I thank you for your grace. Your grace is sufficient. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you infiltrate my body and flow through my mind and flow through my heart. I begin to say, you know how we pray, think through my mind? You don't need the Holy Spirit just to think through your mind for a message. You need him to think through your mind through the day. Help me to, Holy Spirit, think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. We need to know how to talk to one another. Holy Ghost, infiltrate my personality. I grew up a particular way and I experienced particular things. This is my paradigm. And I can't say it's my mama's fault, it's my daddy's fault no more. Holy Ghost, I need you to infiltrate my personality. You are a recreative and creative force as you hover over the earth when it was out form and darkness, chaos. Surely you can handle this chaos. Surely you can handle this craziness. So I say this every day so that I can encounter and stand up against Satan's schemes and devices. So we got to learn how to suffer and realize and say, God, I'm going to be okay. Somebody going through a fiery test and fiery trial, say, I'm going to be okay. Testify to something. It's going to be all right. You're going to make it out of this thing. If you just keep your eyes on God and not be moved by your circumstances, moved by your pain. Yeah, some of us going through some stuff that's very painful, but you don't give that situation your attention. God said, I'm going to strengthen you and I'm going to help you. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 17th verse. So the working of the Holy Spirit is working in us. Every time you make a decision, Holy Spirit, you work in me. Holy Spirit, I'm not going to respond to my flesh. Holy Spirit, I'm not going to allow this situation make me step out of the plan of God. I'm going to be okay with my season. I'm going to suffer through this thing and it's going to be all right. I'm going to believe you to deliver me. But if not, I'm going to be okay. This pain is not going to break me. You're going to some kind of way, God, get involved in it and it's going to make me. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 17 verse 4, a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. So your situation, your circumstance is working for you. The things that we experience, our financial challenges in Maine and financial challenges in Oklahoma, child-rearing challenges that we experience, people challenges that we experience, it worked for us. We didn't want to go through it. But on this side of it, I said, God, you worked through that thing. You helped me. I came out better. If you go through right, you'll come out better. How you go through right? You keep coming to church. How do you come through, go through right? You keep serving. How you go through right? You stay where God says you are to be. You don't jump ship. Everybody's looking for something easier. Man, I remember my mother looking at me and said, Marsha, they don't make them like they made us. Because she's saying that we couldn't take, that generation couldn't take anything, that they were really tough. I'm looking at this other generation. I said, man, they don't make them like they make us. Because any little thing that goes wrong, y'all want to dip. We got to send out disciples, ministers, evangelists, ministry leaders, policemen, firemen, teachers to go find you. What? Then you show back up like nothing was wrong. What's wrong with you asking me where I was? We got to learn how to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. What in the what? Of who? Not the work of pastor. Not the work of right direction. It's the work of the Lord. You realize your ushering is the work of the Lord, not the work of right direction. The parking lot is the work of the Lord, not the work of right direction. We got to twist it. See, at the end of the day, when we all go see Jesus, you can't say it was the ministry leader that made you dip. God said, I gave you a commandment. I gave you a word, and you couldn't fulfill that little thing. Why do you think I was going to bring you into this large place? See this garage with all your stuff? It was on hold until you fulfilled your requirement in the parking lot, in the infant room, in the children's room, in the choir. But we're so big. I'm too big for the parking lot. So you go out your way. I'm sorry. Let's go back to this. Your light affliction. Your light affliction. And wherever you are, with whatever conflict you're dealing with, this applies to. Frustration in your marriage, your light affliction. Pastor and I have been married for 31 years. We had many afflictions. Some that wasn't as light as the scripture that we may say. But God, if you stay true to the word of God, you begin to reap. Amen. So you got to stay faithful, stay focused, and stay consistent. So your light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So as you refuse to look at your debt and look at God, it's working for you. As you refuse to look at your frustration and your finances or your marriage and look at God and his word, it is working for you. But as long as you keep on rehearsing and talking about it and thinking about it and being aggravated about it and being before you know your attitude, now it's not working for you. So this is why sometimes we grow and sometimes we stop. Sometimes we experience God and sometimes we don't. We got to learn how to go through. And we got to learn how to go through consistently and keep our eyes on God. So when there's a trial or you're being challenged in faith, you know, and God said, I want you to tell yourself and determine that you're going to go through and allow glory to work in you. Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way I take. When he tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I think the Amplified says luminous, that as I go through, he knows the way I'm taking. He knows that I'm doing the word. He knows that I'm being faithful. He knows I'm being true. He knows I'm sowing seed. He knows all of that. I'm not going to wonder, what am I doing wrong? Where am I missing it? God, you know the way I'm taking. I'm going to go through this process. And when I come out this process, I'm going to come out as pure gold. Number two, we need to get in the word of God. Will begin to change you, and the word of God will begin to work on the inside of you, and the word of God will help you transform to step out of that state that you're in and walk into the state that God is calling his church to be in. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 18 verse. But we, I want to read it from the Amplified translation here. Start at the 17th verse. Now the Lord is a spirit, yeah, and when the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 17 verse, Amplified Translation. Emancipation from bondage, freedom. Glory to God. And all of us, as with unveiled faces, because we continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror, because many of us like to look at ourselves, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image. Glory to God. In ever increasing splendor, from one degree of glory to another, For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So here you go. As you get in the Word of God, not just on Sunday, y'all. You have to become disciplined. This is a season to become disciplined in the Word of God, to get in the Word of God. So you go to the union, you're having some challenges. She says, you know what, God, I have a love deficit. How do you have a love deficit? You just mad at everybody. That's a clue. I got a love deficit. So you go to Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And so you begin to get in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, and you read the first verse, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, have not charity, have not love, I become a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. You say, oh, God, that's me. So you begin to look at that word. You begin to look at that word. You say, God, help me not to be like this. I know I'm gifted. I could sing. I could do all this, but I have no love. I'm just making a whole lot of noise. So you begin to meditate. You get in the word. And then you come down to the 8th verse. It says, charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there shall be knowledge, they shall vanish away. So you say, okay, I don't want to do all of that. So what must I do so I can look like and feel like I'm walking in love? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So you begin thinking about this. This is how you get changed. And this is how you become transfigured. This is how you step out of your way into His way. And so you begin to meditate, and that won't happen on the natural if you don't get in that word and let that word reflect in your heart and show you you. I'll never forget, I was praying. My husband probably don't even remember this. I was praying for a sister in Maine. It was getting on my nerves. She had an issue with me, and so I'm like, I had an issue with her, and I was just this much saved. And so I got in the Word, and I was praying, and I was telling my husband, I'm all praying about love and charity. I'm walking in love. All along, I'm irritable. I'm moody. I got all kind of issues. I don't think he don't remember. He came back and says, you talking about that sister. You know, walking in love with her. You need to walk in love up in this house. What was I doing? I was looking out. I wasn't looking in. So I had to get in this word until the word became a mirror. So I began to see myself. So many of us, we're trying to see what the word can do for you. But you need to say, for regarding things, you need to see what the word can do for your soul. What the word can do for it. And so you allow that word to reflect and you begin to meditate on that word. You begin to think. So what I'm doing, different seasons where I feel like my temper and my long suffering is not as long as it needs to be. I said, God, help me. Help me not to get irritated by that. Help me to still be kind. Help me. And that's one of the things I'm working on. I'm going to be kind even though other people are not going to be kind. But everybody in my house is kind. I am not talking about anybody in my family at all. You know, I'm just making sure because two of my people are right here. So because I'm making the decision for the word to transfigure me.
Get these powerful messages today from Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey, Dr. Mike Freeman, Bishop Henry Fernandez, and Bishop Marvin Sapp. This timely series is available for your love gift of $25 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Direction for Life 2016, from glory to glory. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praise reports at rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.